Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
We're recording. What do you want to do? You want to play the ukulele again?
No, I haven't played the ukulele in like a month because I've been so busy writing my book, and it's really hard to write a book and play the ukulele.
You mean the coloring book you're writing?
I'm writing a coloring book. It's called Watch Me Play the Uke. Hey, everybody. It's Healthy Gut Girl and Mark Lobotikus coming to you live from deep inside your small intestine. Large intestine. Why do I always say small?
There's nothing
in your small intestine while there is.
No, the small goes first and then large, right?
Right.
It goes through small first, which is good, the outside, and then the larger, the inner ones already crumbled.
No, the little ones on the inside are your small.
Okay.
And then the large, big horseshoe is your large intestine, your colon, and your colon and your rectum and your poop chute.
And that's the one that can stretch out to like...
No, that's the one in the middle.
That's the
one
small?
The colon is so, just like a horseshoe. It's not that... Hey, Siri,
you're asking Siri.
How long is the large intestine? Siri's smart, man. Let's see.
Very
59
long.
59 inches long. Yeah. Hey, Siri, how long is the small intestine? Seven yards.
That's crazy,
right?
Wow, small intestine, 7 yards.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're in your large intestine.
Yeah, we're in the smaller part of the, yeah.
And that's where almost all of your bacterial load is the large intestine. So when we talk about all the good bacteria and the microbes and all that, the bulk of that, I think it's 2 to 4 pounds of bacteria, is in your colon.
So can I ask a really strange question? This is going to get a little macabre.
Nothing
not a little
gets
macabre.
Strong.
So
strange.
My curiosity, and I was just thinking of this, is that there's a lot of people who in the realm of kind of sexual behavior use the anus as part of their pleasure center.
Really?
I've heard that to be the case. Not myself. I'm just kind of asking this question.
I'm asking this question.
That isn't kind of like playing with that area and putting stuff up there. Doesn't that mess with your bacterial, biome and the homeostasis of it?
I guess it depends on what you're sticking in there. If you're sticking dirt, it probably.
Well, I mean, even people who put lube, use things with lube on it, wouldn't
right.
that get in there and kind of, because that stuff's kind of like antibacterial at some point?
I think if you use spermicide, like the same way sticking something into someone vaginally would affect their microbes in their
right.
vaginal canal, you're going to, like, spermicide is like pesticide. It'll kill sperm. So it's also probably going to kill some. Microbes as well. It'll change the pH
right,
for sure.
Right.
But your colon is so, your body is so good at maintaining homeostasis. It's so good at balancing and keeping like this inner ecology, outer ecology also. So I think if someone was sick and they had contraindications like colorectal cancer or diverticulitis, or they had any kind or hemorrhoids, internal hemorrhoids, I would say you probably don't want to be sticking anything up
right.
there. I wouldn't even do an enema, but if someone is relatively healthy, I don't see why it would be a problem if it's done safely, I guess,
And that goes for coffee enemas as well, I would assume.
Same thing.
Right?
Yeah, it's going to change your pH some. Coffee is really acidic, and the pH of the colon is, I don't remember. I think it's 6 points. So it's not alkaline. It's more on the acidic side. But you don't want to be too acidic. So, doing too much of anything is not good. Doing too many water enemas is not smart,
Right.
So, yeah, you can disrupt the pH of the colon.
Okay. Well, that was for one of our guests. Sam wanted to know that answer.
Yeah.
She had that question. She asked me in private, and I was like, I'll ask her on air if she wants me to. So there you go, Sam. I hope you are happy with that answer.
Just kidding. Do with that info what you wish. Oh, my God. That's good, Mark. That was good.
Yeah. Look at you, bumpy arms. What's going on over there? You look like...
I'm really upset.
Someone shot you with pellets.
I know. It looks like someone shot me with a BB gun. Yesterday, we had such a good time. We just went to have brunch, and then we came home, and we sat on our porch, and our neighbors came out, and literally we sat there till, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night, just chatting and laughing. It was really funny, really fun, but I got attacked by mosquitoes, and I actually haven't had mosquitoes never used to bite me, ever. And these are welts. Look at this one.
Yeah, man. Look at that. Laid a larva under your arm.
I know, just, right? Like the little you can see the
bumpy
pores.
Yes, right.
It's so weird. But I think...
Did Charlie get bit?
No. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of different theories about why some people get bit by mosquitoes and some people don't.
Hormonal? Might be.
Well, I think it goes again with things... Okay, so... This goes back to the whole Dr. Marshall thing about if you put a banana on the counter of your kitchen and it's a nice green banana, there won't be fruit flies. It's just sitting there. It's fine. And then it starts to ripen and then it gets brown spots on it and then it gets really dark. And by the time it starts getting brown spots on it, fruit flies start showing up, right? So the reason is because as the fruit is decaying or dying or whatever you want to say, it's emitting ammonia and methane. And this attracts bugs. It attracts things to dispose of it.
Right.
And we're the same way, you know? So as we are becoming more depleted in our bodies and as we age and we become more mineral deficient and vitamin deficient, we start to attract things also. So that's why they say babies and old people have to be very careful, you know, with flus and viruses because they fall victim really easily. And this is why. It's because babies' immune systems aren't fully operational yet. And old people start to lose their ability to fight things. So I really think when mosquitoes come and chomp you, it's because there's some kind of imbalance. There's a deficiency. I tend to think it's a vitamin B deficiency because that's what personally I've noticed when I am taking B vitamins. I don't get bit at all, you know.
Really? You think that's the case? That it's actually a deficiency in vitamin?
Yeah. Some people say it's genetic. I've heard different things. I've heard, you know, it's a lack of, I forget. I've heard different things. But right. I think it has to do with the acidity in the tissues of the body, and it's just more appealing to bugs, you know, to things that want to survive off of it.
Right.
Yeah, because Charlie didn't get bit, and we were sitting right next to each other. Nobody got bit.
He wasn't in a hazmat suit. He wasn't wearing long sleeve pants. And
he was wearing that clown suit he likes to wear that covers him from head to toe.
Right.
That might have been it.
That one.
That one. With the face paint.
He invaded my bedroom one night with that on. That was strange. So, and you're not one for ever wanting to use any kind of mosquito repellent.
I ended up last night doing that because I felt them attacking me, but by then it had been too late. But no, I'll use it. I'm not that crazy.
Spray DEET on your skin?
Yeah, I don't think they use DEET anymore, but they use something similar. But the B vitamins that I used that help, and Dr. Marshall used to say you can actually take them in, dilute them in some water, and spray them on you. And that actually
you
is...
You take the vitamin B, Super B, ND?
The Max B, ND, or they even have another product called green tea extract. And you can take the green tea and you can dilute that in water and you can spray it on your body. It actually acts as a sunblock too, like a UV protectant type of thing as well. But the Max B I'll put in water. So I'll do 2 teaspoons a day, sometimes 3. And then I'll just put it in a bottle of water. And that is my drinking water for the day. And I'll just sip that throughout the day. And it's, you know, it has that like a Flintstone-y. Remember when you used to take Flintstone vitamins when you were a kid? And they have that smell to them.
Sure.
Well, you know, you take the B vitamins.
Yeah. That's actually my supplement I take the most of that I have. That's a constant supply. I'm almost running out of it again.
Do you get mosquito bites?
No, I don't.
See?
But... I am outside, but not for any.
You're almost running out of it? Well, you can go to the healthygutgirl.com shop page and you can sign up for your own free account. and order the Premier Racing
Class. Oh, I didn't know that. You tell me. So I go to your account. I go to healthygirl.com. And
click on the shop page. And then go down to, you'll see, set up your own free Premier Research Labs account. And you just click on it and it asks for your information. And then it sets you up as if you were one of my clients. So you're purchasing through Premier Research Labs, which is very hard to do because they're nutraceuticals, so they shouldn't be sold on Amazon or regular places. Like, you can find them at Air One, which is a grocery store here in Venice that we have, but they don't sell the big guns there. They only sell the colostrum and the digest and the HCL. They sell things that are very sort of not, you can't hurt yourself with them. Mm-hmm. But so they have a small collection there. But on Premier Research Labs, there's so many things. Oh, you know what they're carrying now? Come to think of it. How about this? I just finished a liver flush. So I'm back on my liver flush routine where I do one a month for at least 6 months. So I've just finished my second one. And the new Andreas Moritz liver, the amazing liver gallbladder flush book. There's a revised edition out and they replace the malic acid. So for those people that have, so ask the question, what's a liver flush?
What's a liver flush and how do you go about doing it?
Well, we've certainly talked about this many times here, but we'll go through it again real quickly. So liver flush, there's a lot of different types of liver flushes. There's a lot of different ways to do it. There's kind of mild ways and different types of liver supporting herbs that you can take. And there's different companies, there's different people like Helda Clark who has a liver flush. And there's different ways to do it. But my favorite, because I've done a few, my favorite is The Amazing Liver Gallbladder Flush book by Andreas Moritz. And he has a really effective way of doing a flush that I had a lot of production, let's say. So the whole concept behind it is that our liver is one of our largest detox organs in the body. And it gets very, very, very backed up. It's got 500 functions. And those functions, so it's a busy, busy organ. And when it's congested or backed up or clogged or dirty, which they are very dirty, it can slow down these 500 processes. Fat metabolism, hormone conjugation and elimination. It's got a lot of processes and really important ones. So women who are have hormone imbalance or estrogen dominant, especially women who are older, like above 40, this is a huge issue for them. And it's one of the the gallbladder is right behind the liver. They're side by side. I always say that the gallbladder is like the little garage next to the liver that's the house. And the garage is what holds
the storage area, right?
The storage area for the vehicle, which is the bile. And the bile is what helps do so many things. But, and the vitamin for the gallbladder is B6, which Premier Research Labs no longer carries by itself. In fact, the FDA has outlawed B6 to be sold by itself, which is just unbelievable to me. But people can hurt themselves with B6, just like they can with cars. Oh, wait, cars aren't illegal. Never mind. Sorry, wrong example. So anyway, so it's in the Max Stress B. So you can get it, the B6 in there, and it's the gallbladder's favorite food, right? Is B6. But if you've ever been on the birth control pill, then for more than 6 months or a year, you're dependent on B6. Your body makes B6, but not enough. So women, that's why there's a higher percentage of women who lose their gallbladders to men, much higher percentage. It's crazy. So, it's really kind of a good idea to get onto Max B and to do castor packs. So we'll get into that. But one thing you can do to help alleviate some of the burden on the liver is do this liver flush. And this book goes into great detail on how to do that. I've altered the flush because I've done so many. I've probably done 35 or 40 by now. And I've altered the flush because the original flush is to drink 32 ounces of apple juice every day for 6 days. And that's a lot of fructose. That's a lot of juice for somebody. It's hard to do that. But the apple juice, the malic acid that's in apples, softens the stones in the liver and the gallbladder and the bile ducts. It softens them, the sediment, and it allows them to go through the body easier. So you're doing that for 6 days. And then, but if you don't do the apple juice, you can do malic acid. And as you know, because you've done it, malic acid is very, very tart. It's a powder that you put into 32 ounces of water, and it's like drinking lemonade without sugar in it. It's intense. And so now he's changed. And well, he didn't, because he's no longer alive. But someone that has a control over that book has changed it to use cherry juice. And so Premier Research Labs has a cherry elixade, it's called. And it's a cherry concentrate, basically. Black cherry juice concentrate. It's organic. And it's so good. And you take it and you put it in water and you dilute it. And it's really yummy. And it's perfect for the process. So if you're going to do the liver flush, you can get the cherry elixade on Premier Research Labs.
Yeah, that malic acid was the most challenging part of that process, was taking it and diluting it in water and then just chugging it down to get it past my taste buds. And
what I was doing was adding a little bit of apple juice to the malic acid in the water,
right,
and just to get it down. But the one good thing about malic acid is it's actually antifungal. So it actually helps. It's not a big, big gun. And that's what you want when you're trying, when you're dealing with candida issues or fungal issues in the body. You don't want to just take these medications or these herbs that kill candida all in one shot, because it can paralyze you. I mean, like physically make you so sick to kill off candida that fast. So something like malic acid does it very, very slowly, and it's good. But it also is not great for the teeth. Like, it can really it's an acid. So
it could really burn through your enamel, right?
Yeah. So I mean, you kind of want to
rinse. Your teeth do get whiter.
And they feel,
it looks great.
But it feels weird too, right? Your tongue feels weird. Tongue turns white. It's all kind of, it's an interesting flush. So it's not for everybody, for sure. It's definitely not. So then you do that for 6 days. On the sixth day in the evening, you do two.
But you're also eating clean too, right? I mean, there's protocol is that you're not having any fatty foods, right?
Things altered it. I modified the whole thing with my knowledge of the liver and Dr. Marshall's input to avoid fat. High fat foods during the 6 days. Don't jump all over me. Everybody's like, oh, fat's good for you. What are you thinking? 6 days is not going to kill you. So just 6 days 6 days of low to no fat.
So no avocados, no eggs.
No avocados, no. Well, I mean, in the first few days, I'll eat eggs and
no bacon.
But yeah, no bacon. I try to, and then towards the middle of the week, I just do plant-based. It's usually
doing like a lot of salads throughout the time.
Salads, steamed vegetables, you know, you can do lentils and things like
that. And no occasional glass of wine with Charlie during the week?
No, you try not to.
You said try, so I assume you didn't quite succeed all the time?
No comment. Well, I will say this. If you do drink during that 6 days, it will. So here's the whole point. The reason you don't do fat. Why don't you do fat during the 6 days?
So you don't that liver has to process it.
Yeah,
so you
it's number one job is to metabolize down fat, right? And if you are eating fat, then you just want to quiet down the liver. You want to de-inflame it. Is that a word?
Because when that night comes, man, that thing's going to be pumping.
It's
like
gonna be busy.
Yeah, it's busy. It's churning out like a machine, man, in the factory.
And you also want to give the gallbladder a little bit of a break, although it doesn't really take a break. It constantly, twice a day, it's shooting out bile, whether you like it or not. So so you want to just slow it, all the process down, you know? You don't even want to do coffee enemas towards the liver, the flush day. You know, you can do them at the first couple of days. But at day 4, 5, 6, you don't want to be messing with anything. You just want it super, super calm. I like to do it on the new moon or around the new moon, just because the new moon has a quality of release. It's kind of like with women and their cycles, you know, you're meant to be like ovulate around the full moon and have your period around the new moon and release, flush around the new moon. So there's this whole cyclical thing about it that I enjoy, that I like to kind of do. And I have noticed a difference. If I try to do one near the full moon, it's not as productive. So anyway, then you're reducing the fat, animal products. You're trying to do kind of just a vegetarian diet for the week. And then you ingest the Epsom salts, which is my favorite part. And by favorite, I mean I'd rather stick a pencil in my eye.
Yeah, there we go.
And it's and everyone, you know, people always say when I send the information,
and that you're
to
doing
clients,
at 6 a.m., right?
Yes. It's, well, you're doing one at 6 p.m. and one at 8 p.m., and then you do another one at 6 a.m. and another one at 8 a.m. And then you do, well, first of all, on the night six, you're actually looking forward to drinking 4 ounces of olive oil and 6 ounces of grapefruit juice mixed together. That's the fun part too. So you're so hungry and thirsty by that point because you've fasted for the day, and then you're doing these two Epsom salt cocktails, and then you drink, which by the way, Epsom salt is not salty. Just so everybody knows, don't expect salt. Expect the most bitter, vile bitterness you can possibly imagine.
No one said this was going to be easy, but this
everyone's
is the challenge.
Like, is she joking?
This is the challenge. No, it's not enjoyable process, but I think the result is supposed to be the benefit and advantage.
I mean, you don't want to just do one. I think if you did one liver flush, first of all, most people don't get a lot of production on the first flush. They get them on the second, third, fourth flush, even sometimes longer. I had an incredible experience that I think I mentioned in one of our very early podcasts. I think it was called Ode to the Gallbladder, remember? And I'll share that TMI with you again, which is that the first couple of flushes, I really didn't have much production. I was like, what? And Charlie was getting all these little stones, you know, it was crazy. And I was like, okay, I either don't have stones or something's wrong with me. And something was wrong with me, of course. So I just kept on. And this is when I started to modify the cleanse, because I started to realize that his cleanse is awesome. But I incorporated coffee enemas into the cleanse, which I think is tremendous help. So, and then the no fat and all of that, I incorporated that also.
You
so
mean
I've changed.
During the 6 days you were doing coffee enemas, or no, after?
No, well, in the book, he doesn't mention coffee enemas.
Or well,
he just talks about colonics.
Colonics at the end to clear
but
out.
But I really feel like using the coffee enemas on day seven, the morning of day seven, I think is extremely important and useful. And the reason being, the first time I did it, I didn't get a colonic and I was covered in hives. It's like I had, you know, people really underestimate this stuff. They either think it's bullshit or they think it's too, like not doing anything, like, you know, like it's a waste of time and energy. It's no joke. Like when you meet somebody who's had crazy experiences with it, it's like there's no doubt in your mind that this stuff is powerful. Because the liver is holding a lot of garbage in the bile ducts and in the hepatic veins, and the gallbladder has a lot of garbage in it. And so when you push this stuff out, when you drink that oil, so what the oil does, you've not had fat for several days. You've not had, you know, you've just been very calm and, the liver has been calm. And then you all of a sudden drink this olive oil concoction and it literally like shocks the liver into over, like it's time to go to work. Right. So it forces all kinds, it shoots bile out with like a serious force. And the way that we know this is because, well, they know that it does that, but the way I know it is because, in the first few, probably 12 flushes that I did, I would wake up in the middle of the night and get sick. I would have to puke. And it's not the olive oil. 'Cause by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, the olive oil has already passed your stomach and it's down. It's the fact that the gallbladder is forcing this stuff out with such force that it's shooting the bile into the belly, and that makes you sick. And so that's what we're saying. This isn't for everyone. The flush is not for everyone, for sure. But what happened for me was after the third flush, I think, or fourth flush, I I had this stone.
Saw Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, I saw Jesus. Again, like, second time in my life.
Oh, only when I'm on the bowl you appear.
I passed the stone. And by the way, for those that don't know, the stones come out of your butt, your back door, and not out of your pee hole, which some people mistake kidney stones with gallstones. Kidney stones come out of your urethra or your pee hole. The gallstones come out of your bowel, out of your butt, poop chute, back door, rectum. And I just could not believe the size of this thing. It was so, maybe we didn't talk about this because I'm actually blushing at the moment. I do have a photo if anyone wants to see it.
This is the most recent one right now?
No, this was the fourth flush. I wasn't getting any stuff out. And I was like, after 1, 2, 3 flushes, nothing was coming out. And the fourth flush, it was about the diameter of a silver dollar, right? It was big. It was like that.
You had it made into a ring, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a gallbladder.
Yeah,
ring.
That Charlie wears to work.
Charlie Stone. This is my wife's stone. It's an emerald. Oh, it's quite deliciously looking. Beautiful.
It didn't, you know, it looks like a rock.
Green. Yeah, yeah. I remember when I did I only did one flush in my time, and I've been wanting to go back.
What?
I've only done one, I know.
You really should do
Tell me about it, because I could see, like, your face is actually clearer.
Oh.
No, your arms got bumps all over them, like it's the
I'm a mess.
Yeah, it's got it's like a geographical map.
People are like, it's like a topographical map. People are like, this girl is a health practitioner. God, every time
but
we hear from
your
her,
face actually
sick.
Looks clearer. It's actually, I see the difference.
Cool. Yeah. So it
without makeup too. So
no makeup.
Yeah.
But we so that time that stone came out, and after that, it was like every flush after that, I would get like massive amounts of production. So the stuff that you get are, remember the candy Nerds?
Yeah.
Don't they look like Nerds?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Only green, right. Like
the green
bright
ones,
green.
Right.
Yeah. And
little speckles in them.
And all of they can be very, very, very head of the pin big, very tiny. And they can also get to the size. I had a client who sent me pictures of her stone production in the morning, and she collected them out of her toilet with a colander or something and took a picture of them in the sunlight. It looked like, they looked like river rocks.
Oh,
not
my,
that big, but
right.
There were so many. I wished I'd saved that photo. It was way back. I mean, I could not believe what this woman was carrying around with her. It was amazing. She saved herself from certain hospital visits, possibly gallbladder ectomy, as I like to call them, you know, getting her gallbladder taken out. She really added years to her life by doing that. And that flush and continuing to do them. And I told you about my client. She, Janine, mm-hmm. who lives in Michigan, she has done like 47 of them, and her eyesight is back to 20/20. And this is, you know, she's older than me. I don't know how old she is, but she's definitely over 50. And she's, her eyesight's back to 20/20. And, what else? So there's just so many benefits. And I personally felt like my life, my health really shifted then. I felt like my hormones started to balance out. I was able to put weight on because I'd never been able to put weight on my whole life. And I've seen both. I've seen people who've had issues with weight gain have, you know, easier time losing weight doing series of flushes. I mean, I've seen, one thing that was really cool on this flush. So I went to Barry's boot camp last week, which is like a, you know, it's what it sounds like. It's like a gym that they kick your butt at. And I had so much fun. It was crazy. It was these places are like nightclubs now. Like the gyms around here are like nightclubs. You go in there and people, you know, it's like this gay drill sergeant dude who's jumping around. He's like, come on, girls. You know, and he was just so animated and hilarious. So like much energy. And just got you really motivated. There's like red disco lights everywhere. And he's like doing all this. And I mean, it's not your mama's gym anymore. It's not the Y anymore. And, you know, all Instagram models in there. And like, it's crazy. Anyway, so I got so sore, of course, as I always do. Really sore. I mean, I could not. Like as sore as you've ever been times 10. I could not do anything. And for 3 days, I was incapacitated. Well, the third day was day 6 of the flush. Day 7 was the next day. I woke up, I was definitely sore, but when the flush was over, I didn't have one single tiny iota of soreness in my body. And this is what these flushes do. They move out acid out of the body too. So it's pushing out lactic acid from your joints. I mean, these flushes are incredible. And trust me, the liver has a lot to do with that, with how sore you are. You know, if you can grab, like, I don't know if this is you, but if you grab like an inch of fat around yourself, yeah. is that painful at all?
No.
So a lot of women and some men, they can, or grab their thigh, grab some meat at the back of their thigh. That's painful for some women. I've had that. Oh, wow. I used to have a lot of that. You just would touch my skin and I'm like, ow, it hurts. You know, it wasn't like debilitating pain, but it's like, oh, just pain.
Uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And this is liver stagnation. You know, this is definitely an issue. So these flushes help move this stuff out. Dr. Marshall used to say that, you know, when people are really, really tight and they're not very limber, you know, like you go to yoga and you see some people who are like doing the spread eagle thing with their chest on the ground and it's incredible. And then some people can't even touch their knees, you know, with their hands when they're sitting. This is, besides tight muscles, which of course is the case for many people, but this can also be acidity and inflammation in the body. So people that tend to be acidic, you know, they don't have a lot of tissue oxygen in their body. And these flushes help move that acidity out. And so you do, I was like, wow, I'm not that sore today. And Charlie's like, that's weird. I'm not that sore. I was not sore at all. So that's just so many benefits to them.
Does the liver flush also get rid of Roundup? That's in there from...
Oh, yeah, probably.
Right? I mean, I would think so. That's from all that pesticides and whatnot.
Well,
that's...
think about it. Anything that you take goes to the liver.
Right.
Any kind of medication, everything gets filtered and processed out of the liver. The liver is like the gatekeeper. It's like, okay, is this good stuff or bad stuff? Let me sort it out and harbor it. Dispose of it. If you don't have enough mineral content in the body to dispose of toxins, your body will wrap it up in fat and store it as fat, or it'll store it in the liver. So when you do these flushes, absolutely, you're getting rid of all kinds of garbage. It's toxic bile. And let me tell you, okay, so you can see like bubbly stuff. It looks like maybe you pooped out some soap. That's cholesterol shards. People can't see you nodding. So
no, yeah, I am nodding, right? Yeah. I mean, we do, you know, you say, first thing I thought of when you was like, oh yeah, the foam. We do that at the restaurant. There's like a little spumata of foam on one of the plates. I'm like, that's true. It looks like exactly that.
Well, I won't be going to that restaurant anytime soon. So it's cholesterol shards. It's bad, dirty cholesterol, you know? And then there's also, you can pass sludge. I had a client tell me that she passed something that looked like 40 weight oil. Like it was like almost black. I did pass some stuff like that too. And not quite that intense, but it was definitely dark and it was like viscous and thick. And this stuff is in all of us, you know? This isn't just poop. This is toxicity that is hiding and being stored in the body that our bodies are not able to get rid of on its own. It's like changing the oil out in your car. Is it invasive? It is. Can it be dangerous? It can. You know, am I irresponsible for recommending this to people? No. It's like, again,
but just
you can kill yourself in your car, you know? Like, just you have to try. Do it with a practitioner. I suggest, you know, like hiring someone like myself who knows how to do these things and how to mitigate any kind of danger. Read the book, you know, we're going to come out with our program soon, Detox It. And that's going to have very specific instructions on how to do the liver flush and my modified way of doing it. There's a couple products that Premier Research Lab sells, like the Gallbladder ND, which is filled with herbs. It's a tincture that's just filled with herbs that support gallbladder function. There's a liver ND.
Now, are you taking the Gallbladder ND while doing the flush in the middle of it?
I do, yeah.
You do?
I do. I take it. I put it in water and I sip it through the week through the the cherry aid. The cherry elixade, or cherry elixir. Got to figure out what they call it now. And
I'll look it up. Premier Research Labs.
Yeah, it's their cherry elixade, I think it's called, or I don't know if they changed the name of it. And then there's a product called Billevin. So, you know, if someone has, if they're prone to gallstones, they know they have them, and they're being threatened to, you know, their doctor's saying, we've got to take your gallbladder out, and you don't want to, you're hesitant, you're thinking about it and looking for other alternatives. A product that Dr. Marshall or that Premier Research Labs carries is called Billevin, B-I-L-I-V-E-N, which is basically like bile, like bile.
Cherry elixir. It's only $12.95. That's great.
Yeah.
It's really inexpensive.
Yeah, okay. And it lasts. It's very concentrated, so you would only use a couple capsules.
You said
capsules.
The Billevin is also one?
And the Billevin, and that is a very strong tasting capsule, smelling capsule, smells of cloves and other herbs. But it is powerful. And I know I've told the story again, but I love telling it. I had a client who, two clients that called me up, and one of them was freaking out because her cousin was having a gallbladder attack, and it was Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving, or maybe it was the morning of, really early, having this gallbladder attack. And she was going to have like 30 people over for Thanksgiving that afternoon. And she was full on having a gallbladder attack.
Oof.
And they're
what is
like
a gallbladder attack. So
the gallbladder is under the right breast ribs area. So from the armpit down,
right
across under your right breast, under your
armpit.
So
it's like a lot of throbbing pain and that, right?
Throbbing pain, yeah. But also there's a gaseous pain that a lot of people feel that shoots up into the back even, up into the shoulder. You can feel it in the shoulder. It can also radiate down the right side of the body. And it can even shoot and radiate into the left side of the body and give you a stomach ache. So people don't know what's going on a lot of times. They think they're having a stomach issue when they're really having a gallbladder attack. It affects that whole digestive area when it's happening, and it can be extremely horrible, and it can be fatal if it bursts and you're not near hospital. So, you know, it's a very good idea to clean that thing out. So she called me and said, what should she do? You know, she's freaking out, and she had not the woman having the attack, but the other one happened to have like a bunch of Billevin. I said, take her some Billevin, have her take 12 capsules every 30 minutes. Just take 12 every 30 minutes until the pain subsides. If that's not going to, you know, kick it, then you got to take her to the hospital. So she started taking them. I didn't hear anything. I kept checking back. I didn't hear anything. She ended up cooking for the 30 people, and she was fine. She felt fine. She was completely fine. Didn't even have to go to the doctor later.
After
the pain didn't continue.
An hour or two of just taking the pills?
Uh-huh. I didn't ask her how many she ended up taking, but I bet it was at least a bottle of 60 or something. And so she ended up being completely fine, and she ended up doing liver flushes after that, and she never had the issue again. I haven't talked to them in a long time, so who knows, you know, what's happened since. It's definitely maintenance. It's not something you do once and just give it up. So the Billevin is amazing, and what the Billevin does is it dilates the neck of the gallbladder. So the gallbladder is like a little balloon, if you can imagine a little water balloon that's not filled, just flat, and it's probably that big too. And it dilates that neck so that whatever is in there can get excreted. So if there's stones, and those suckers can be massive, massive. I mean, I told you mine was like the diameter of a silver dollar. Some of them can be, you know, bigger than that. And what happens is they've been there for so long, a lot of them, that they kind of stick to each other the way, like if it's raining and, you know, dirt.
Well, they clump together in storage for a while, right. So they just become one. Right?
Exactly. Thank you. I was about to go into some weird analogy, but exactly. And so sometimes people don't get production for a long time, and it's almost like you've got to chip away at this thing because it's just one solid piece. And they're also blocking the bile ducts, and so it's like Charlie's going to love this analogy because I've used it a million times, but it's like put like marbles in a garden hose. You know, imagine like the water trying to flow out of that garden hose. It's not going to
and
flow
And hence why
properly.
You want to take the malic acid or the cherry elixir to help try to soften them so they can actually pass through.
Exactly.
And sometimes it sounds like they've been in there a while and they're quite large that even the malic acid you might be ingesting or the cherry elixir is only softening the outer layer of it.
Yeah.
And that's probably why you get the sludge.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the exactly. You get some strange stuff. You see strange stuff. You know, Charlie did a parasite cleanse for liver flukes a while back, and he actually we knew he had this particular parasite, so he was taking a very specific program for it. And he did it. He didn't. The program was, he was like, eh, I didn't notice anything. It was fine. It was expensive and it was done. And he's like, I hope it helped. And then like a month later, he did a liver flush and he actually passed these little, you know, sesame seedy looking dried up liver flukes. And we know they were because Dr. Marshall identified them. And we also looked it up online and it was pretty specific what they looked like. And you know, you're thinking, oh my God, these people, where do they eat? How come it? But this is everybody, you know. Unfortunately, going back to our original conversation in the opening part of the show with anal stuff, most parasites are fecal to oral transfer. So that means that they're coming from poop that we're somehow ingesting, and that can make your brain go a little crazy. Like, wait a second, I don't remember eating poop, but when you go out, the most common place for fecal oral transfer is restaurant, is eating out at restaurants. When someone goes to the bathroom and then they return to the kitchen and start cooking your food, that type of thing. And that is where most fecal oral transfer comes from, is restaurant food. Is that crazy?
Wow.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, that is.
It's disgusting. You know, sushi, you can get, well, a lot of raw meats and foods you can get parasites from. There's a lot. I don't know how I got on that subject.
Sure.
But so, and Premier Research Labs does have parasite protocol. They have a supplement called Parastat and another one called Paracetin. And Paracetin is for microscopic bugs in the body, parasites. Parastat is for intestinal parasites that are like, you know, someone has a hookworm or they've got some kind of worm in the gut. That's Parastat. And you have to work with a practitioner when doing them because you need to know how long to be on them, what kind to take. You know, but they do sell that and they're very big guns.
Okay.
Big guns.
So if anyone listening right now and is curious and want to go do this and get the protocol, the products. Do you have it on the new products listed anywhere other than your book that's coming out? Do you have that when anyone can go to your website and go, okay, what's this protocol with the supplements you just mentioned?
Well, it's funny you should ask because we're about to be done with Detoxit, and that's where all that information is.
Is that what you named your dog, Dita?
Because
I was just thinking that you like, because Dita Detoxit. You like that word.
I like detoxing. No, it's not. Okay. I told you why we named her Dita, because she had a little fat butt, like Dita Von Tess,
right.
The stripper. She was like a sexy little dog when she was little. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's it. That's kind of what's been going on with me and with the liver flush. And did I leave anything out about the flush?
So what you were just saying was where?
Well, Detox, it's not up yet.
Right.
But when it is.
Like someone wants it right now after listening to this
episode.
Well,
if they want it right now, you can either email me and you can hire me as a practitioner and I can guide you through one of these processes. Or
what's your email?
You can venicecat@gmail.com.
There you go.
Or you can.
Well, that's a C-A-T.
Yeah. And if you do email me, just know that before we even get started, you'll have to have done 6 weeks of a gut protocol. You have to before anything. It's almost not,
okay.
You know, very important.
And this that's is like the advanced
the total
stage
gut
of doing.
Makeover is the perfect gut protocol. You can do body ecology. You can do GAPS diet. You can do your own version of a gut protocol, or you can do the total gut makeover, which is on my site also. And, because before you do a heavy detoxification process, you have to upregulate digestion. You have to. And when I say you have to, I am not messing around. I've been doing this for 12 years now, and I have seen people hurt themselves by not listening to me or not listening to the instructions, not following the instructions specifically. If you don't like the taste of the malic acid, don't, and you just, you know what? It's not that good. I'm not going to take it. Big mistake. You could literally have a gallbladder attack if you try to force those stones out of your body without working on softening them. The Epsom salts are horrible, but if you don't drink them and you have already purged, so this is a big thing. The whole thing with the Epsom salts is it's forcing you to clean out your bowel.
Is it the same Epsom salt you're putting in your bath water?
Yes, but you...
But you do it without the added... sometimes they sell it with some kind of fragrance.
Yeah, like lavender or whatever.
So you want the
you
nut.
You just Got want it. Basic... You can even find food-grade Epsom salt online.
On PRL?
But I just use... Not on PRL. I just use regular, you know, Epsom salt without anything in it. And... Oh, no. And so... You know, you do two of those cocktails at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., and then you drink that olive oil concoction at 10 p.m. If you don't like those Epsom salts and you drink that olive oil, you're going to force toxins out of the liver and the gallbladder into the body, into the bowel. If you are not flushing your colon out, if you're not helping your body eliminate, you will recycle. You'll re-ingest. Your body will recycle those toxins.
Right.
And this is what happened to me. I didn't want to get a colonic, and I didn't know to do the coffee enemas at the time. And we were going on vacation to Hawaii, and I just did a flush. I was literally covered with these hives on my body. My face, my back. There I am in a bikini looking like, you know.
Yeah, because there's no way. It'll release it all from your gallbladder.
It'll push it
and
to.
Right in yeah. it, but it wasn't able to get out of your body, expel
yeah,
itself.
Yeah, so because my colon was sluggish or whatever. If you have digestive issues and you're not dealing with them, your colon is sluggish, it can't push it all out. I wasn't getting enough prebiotic fiber
so
in my body.
So that's why you do the coffee enema, which gets in there and gives you the second flush.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And also, it's... pushing that stuff out, and when you have an overload, it'll push it to the surface of the skin. And that's why when people have things like eczema and psoriasis and they have cystic acne and things like that, there are a few things that can cause that, but ultimately it really has to do with stagnation in the liver.
Right.
The liver is burdened and can't do its job properly, so it pushes things to the surface of the skin.
That's a lot of good. That's really good information. You make me want to do one every time I listen to you, and I don't, and I need to. So
I just have to do them. I'm going to do one a month. Let's do the liver flush challenge.
Okay,
one a month, folks. Okay. One a month.
I got to move first. I think once I get settled in, I can just.
Yeah, you can't do it when you're stressed because stress is also taxing to the liver.
So, lastly, I guess you want to talk about the Monsanto case a little bit.
Oh my God, can you even believe it? Yeah.
So this is a big news apparently.
Yeah. So Monsanto was being sued by a man named Dwayne Lee Johnson, who was a yards keeper for a school or something. He was a groundskeeper for a school or something like that. And he's like 47 or 8. He's not an old guy. And he spilled some of the product. He'd worked with the product for all the years he was working at this company, at this place. And he had spilled the product on accident on him. And I guess he had contacted the company and said, you know, is this bad? And they were like, no, just wash it off. You know, like he was told that it was fine. And then there's all these other, this other stuff that kind of happened. Anyway, he ended up hiring, I think one of his attorneys was Kennedy, what's his name? Robert Kennedy, the guy who is... a champion for anti-vaccines. Actually, he's not anti-vax. He's pro-safe vaccination is what he's pro. Will you look that up while I'm talking? The why can't I remember his name? We just saw him hiking the other day too, up in my brain is just
so
stopped.
Where,
my brain has just decided to stop.
Take a breath.
Okay.
We
were hiking at Mandeville Canyon and we saw him and I said hi to him. And actually I said hi because his dog was talking to my dog.
$289 million in damages.
And punitive damages to Dwayne T. Johnson. But
so this was a civil lawsuit. 800 patients were suing Monsanto's. Okay.
So on 10 counts, because one of the counts was, which I was really happy about, was the fact that they lied. They lied. They were hiding the information that it was, that it's a cancer, a very powerful cancer causing chemical. And so he won and people couldn't believe it. And,
oh my God, you see pictures of what's on his body, the lesions. It doesn't look very good.
Yeah. It's terminal. So isn't that ironic? You know,
He
wins all this money and he's basically going to die soon. So But what a hero he is. This sets the precedence for the, you know, for the future. Because but listen to this, these sneaky bastards.
Yeah.
Right? Monsanto, Bayer just bought Monsanto. Like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something. Yeah. And I mean, that's the irony here, really, is that, or it's not, that's not the irony. It just goes to show you how sneaky they are, because they knew that their days were numbered. They knew that eventually somebody was going to sue them and win, and they knew it. So they sold to Bayer. Bayer bought them and is taking on all this. They dropped 10 points in the Dow, I think, today or yesterday. Yeah, today. Today's Monday, right? They dropped 10 points. Bayer dropped 10 points. That's no big deal to them. They own a lot. They're fine. But they're going to change the name of glyphosate. They're going to change the name of Roundup Ready. They're going to change the names of these things and put them right back on the market as a different product. And that's where we as customers and consumers have to be super savvy. We can't, you know, so there's a few things I'm...
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's not, you say customers. We're not buying this stuff. It's just that it's used in agriculture. Like farmers buy it and they're the ones that buy this because they have to... There's not many chemicals out there for a weed killer, like Roundup is the big one. And so they're kind of left with just a few options. That's why they buy this.
I mean, I wonder what the percentage is of people who buy it, of consumers who buy it, because you can just go to Home Depot.
Well, consumers do buy it. True. You can go to Home Depot and buy it. And I see a lot of people buying it for their own garden.
Right.
Because they just don't know.
Right. Well, here's what I think also. So those of you who do have some Roundup Ready in your garage, don't just dump it down the drain. You have to call your poison control center and ask them how you can safely get rid of it. Because if you dump it in the drain, it's going to get into our groundwater.
Right.
This stuff is nasty. So also, in light of knowing all of this, we have to think about what else has glyphosate in it. Where is glyphosate also just besides pesticide? In the pesticide chemical that you use for your garden. It's also used on cotton, and cotton is used to make tampons, to make feminine products, to make baby clothes, to make sheets, to make clothes. Cotton is used for a lot of things. And here we are wearing this stuff, not just close to our bodies, but in our bodies.
Look, yeah, that's why you said tampons. I mean, that's inserting in your body, being absorbed into your bloodstream directly.
Right. So this is a big deal, and I think that they're going to have to restructure how they sell it, what they're calling it, and everything. And we just have to be keen on, okay, wait a minute. Like, you have to do non-organic.
That gave me a great idea, a question. Do women, like, buy, are there such thing as, like, organic cotton tampons? I mean, like, you non-GMO?
Yeah.
I mean, there are on the market. Okay.
Yeah. There are. So there's the option. There's also other things like the Diva Cup, and there's a sponge, and there's different things that you can use to, you know, there's also like Thinks, this company, and there's a few other companies that make underwear that are specifically designed for women who are on their periods.
Right.
But still, are those cotton, you know?
Yes.
Like, it's hard to avoid this stuff. And guess where else glyphosate is? In vaccines. It's in vaccinations.
Right?
It's one of the ingredients in vaccinations.
Just put it in everything. Yeah, so there's, you got this major company with huge backing, deep pockets, big lobbyists in Washington that push these products on the market and give them approval. And I was just reading on CNN.com about the case as she was talking. I was just kind of glancing at it. And even they say they're going to fight it and peel it. Like, they don't have to prove it. They even said that we don't have to approve that this caused cancer. It's up to Dwayne to prove that caused cancer for him. And the thing is that it's so hard for anyone to prove that directly caused cancer.
Well,
just say, well, it's your lifestyle, your health, whatever it is. They'll just push it off to something else. It's what the
But you know what's good about these
tobacco company did the same thing.
Right. What's good about these 10 counts was one of them had to do with them maliciously hiding.
So they found the information. They were able to get the papers.
Yeah.
That's right. Someone had the papers.
Someone who must have had it from the Freedom of Information Act, like you were suggesting. They must have in that way. And so they know that they went out of their way
to suppress
valuable life-threatening information, life-saving information. And that right there is where they messed up.
See, this is the, you know, I just started a podcast with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. It's called Shitstorm. We just started. It's actually pretty good. And he's very much a progressive, and I don't side too much with him. And he just kind of talks about how the right is very evil, and you know, mostly that it's been proven that way. And I don't, you know, when I think about these business owners of Monsanto knowing this information, and for business reasons, for profit motive, to put this out there, just like Ford did with the Pinto and hiding information. Mm-hmm. We knew it was just we'll just pay the lawsuits
and
we don't
lead,
care
and the
because
lead
the profit motive alone that makes people do make these decisions. Like, we don't care because, right, this might be a small amount of money. If they can absorb, it's like you said, 10 points is for them, they'll get it back with their other products. That it doesn't matter to them. Like, it's just a small drop in the bucket. And these companies are heinous to do that. Mm. And it just bothers me when I take my friend's point of view. I'm like, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe people, you know, these big business owners are a little more heinous and evil when it comes to the profit motive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's they put profits before they, you know, ahead of safety.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, I think there are a lot of companies that probably do that. And it doesn't make corporations evil in general, but it does make the ones.
Well, it makes suspect of.
And it makes a suspect, yeah. It makes everybody look bad. It makes all the big companies look bad. No one trusts them.
So you're right. It was a Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah. And right. So he's been a vaccine skeptic for a very long time. And he speaks out. He's gone to you know, he's an incredible advocate for people who have been injured by vaccines. And there, you know, are a lot of, and mm-hmm. that's what's next. That's next is going to be this kind of thing with Monsanto happening with vaccines, where it's going to be like, this is what I wanted to talk about. And we might have to do this on another show, but I'll just mention it here, which is, so they know it causes cancer. They're in vaccinations. And do you know that dogs are, cancer is the it occurs more frequently in dogs than it does in any other species.
Yeah, we talked.
Right. And so why? You know, why do you think that the vaccines that they give dogs are going to be any cleaner than the vaccines they give to people? They're not. You know, they're going to, in fact, probably a lot less care and science goes into vaccines for dogs than it does for people. And nobody cares. Who's going to champion that fight?
Yeah, but you also
fight?
Mentioned that dogs also licking the weeds, the bushes, and
the
glyphosate.
Right. So that's my point, is that they're getting exposed to this glyphosate right. from every angle, and they are constantly falling ill, you know, like, it's just too bizarre. The pieces are all, the puzzles coming together now, and we're starting to go, oh my God, you know, the veil is being lifted and we can see who's behind the curtain messing things up.
We've been doing this, is just like history. It just keeps repeating throughout, you know, decades. You always get examples of companies doing the very same thing. It's mm-hmm. like you create this product out there for profit, and what was it, Dr. Yamayanis, I forget his name, who was talking about the fluoride toothpaste. He goes, there's no proof. Fluoride is just a chemical byproduct. Like, they have so much of it, and so they just, how are they going to make money with it? Well, they get the cities to put it in water to fluoridate the water, and there's no and put it in toothpaste. And this doctor was saying specifically, there's no proof this stuff reduces cavities. It does anything but it depletes your body of
it's so weird.
It's horrible.
What a random thing to decide to do.
And cities put it in the water supply because it's just like they lobby. They lobby the state. Go, no, you need this to keep the population healthy, when it does the opposite.
I mean, who needs that? When would we ever need that? It's just
correct.
So weird to me. Remember when we were in school and they would have that dental day or whatever, and they'd come and make us rinse with fluoride? Do you remember that?
I never had. But I must have been too young, but I don't recall fluoride.
Yeah. Freak. They had us rinse with this pink stuff and minty pink stuff. And it was fluoride.
Yeah, so if you have a company creating the science behind it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Monsanto did. They create the science like, hey, we're going to show that this proves that it's going to help reduce, you know, gingivitis bacteria, you know, build up in the mouth. Well, they probably suppressed the information that showed in long-term use this does not do what it says it does, and, right? So they created the science behind it, lobbied their politicians, and got it on a national basis to say, like, we need fluoride and to keep gingivitis out. And so then you had these companies going to school saying, nah, you need this. Mm-hmm. Fluoridate your kids.
But it's crazy. I mean, it really is just shocking. It's hard. I used to be so naive. I just didn't want to believe that this stuff goes on. I always wanted to believe that it was an accident and that they had already gotten the ball rolling. So they were like, oh, maybe it – and then they kind of have to backstep. But when actuality, they probably even know that it has a life. They probably know, okay, we're going to do this glyphosate thing, but basically in about 10 years – or 15
might get
years,
20 yeah, right out
might
of
get
it.
20,
yes.
And then you know what's going to happen. So we have to be prepared for the lawsuits. Like, they know from the beginning, like, this stuff is going to kill
well,
people.
Well, you know, from reading Deep Nutrition, from what I'm finding out is that, you know, she was pointing out in the book and scientifically that you have this whole generation of people, like, doing vegan and all of these lifestyle differences. And for them in the moment, they feel like they're doing a great thing, and it seems to be working. But what's happening on a genetic level, it's altering the DNA that their kids now come out with all of these allergies and all of these ailments. Mm-hmm. And you see a generation of people who have enormous amounts of allergies, right? Mm-hmm. And it's no doubt from the previous generations that they were doing something different with their diet.
Right.
Altering it.
I'm hearing, I'm getting something I had never really had in my client base. Yeah, I've never seen it until very recently, which is parents who are really health-minded. They've gone through all this, like, gut work and done all these different types of health modalities, things to get them balanced and healthy. They get pregnant, or maybe they do IVF, and then they get pregnant, they have a baby, and then they have the baby at home, and they breastfeed the baby till the baby's 7, or, you know, they just breastfeed the baby till, you know, for 2 years, and they are giving the baby, like, a plant-based diet. I mean, they're so good. And then they're sending me these messages saying, you know, why do you think my child is having this problem with allergies? Or why is my child in the spectrum? Do you have any ideas, any input on why this could be? And that is just speaks to that issue, mm-hmm. that maybe it isn't what you're doing now. Maybe you pass it on that genetic default or genetic weakness in to them, and they're living out what you were
actually
to.
After reading the book, I started going back to eating. Okay, I'm going to go back to the healthier fats and the meats, and mm-hmm. like, I'll eat bacon and eggs again, mm-hmm. and it tastes darn good. I mean, obviously there is the fact that I don't like factory farming the way we treat our animals, and there's that aspect of it. But in terms of health wise, I do feel a lot better. I get more energy throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You know, if I just have a couple of eggs and bacon, I have energy, mm-hmm. as opposed to my, you know, banana smoothie I'm having in the morning and I crash in an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm noticing some differences, and there's been a lot of positive outcomes, people doing just like this all carnivore diet that's based in that kind of realm. Like, you know, we bought up on this stuff, eating animals, and it's okay, but to an extent, you know, how do you balance out the fact that, unfortunately, you know, you have to buy grass-fed and things organically raised to kind of be at least in the realm of kind of safety and consciousness.
Right. It's hard. But, I mean, how can you – people didn't eat meat all the time.
Not, but it was part of the, it was a staple item of – if you look at the
– No,
if you
wasn't.
Look at the, yeah, and in the book, it talks about, like, you look at the most beautiful – people in the world, they did have.
What does that mean? Beautiful people.
People who were constantly like the. There was.
You mean healthy?
Healthy, but also.
Happy.
People, no, literally beautiful people that are considered, like, every time you see, like, National Geographic, the picture of that person with the eyes and the face and the structure.
So not
of
us.
These, no, not us. Not all together. And or you know, I guess models too. I mean, there's, you know, talked about the genetics of that. And you it says if you trace that, that's going to yield that their diet wasn't, you know, gluten-free. I mean, yes, gluten-free. There was no gluten. You're eating stuff that's pretty much a clean diet, things that are out in nature, your vegetables and animals. And that was part of the diet, you know, and that's okay. When you start stripping that stuff away, like, I don't want to eat bacon anymore, no more saturated fats. Well, saturated fats, as you know, is a very viable and potent source of energy. Our body actually burns saturated fats better for energy, not carbohydrates. And it's brain food. Your brain loves it. And so when you start deterring from what our sort of ancestors ate, then you're changing the DNA a lot. She's like, it starts going down the line and changing the bone structure.
See, I have a problem with that because who is she talking about? Because my ancestors probably, yes, they probably did. They probably did eat. They were more hunters and gatherers, but they still didn't eat meat all the time. You've got winter when there's probably very, very little meat.
They'd store it. Well, I mean, you ate meat was part of the diet.
I don't think it was, I think...
Like part of the 80-20 principle, maybe 20% of it?
I don't know, because it's hard to say, but I mean, I'm sure there's some science somewhere that says, you know, it was like a seasonal foods, you know, you didn't always have access to a buffalo or an elk, you know, sometimes you just didn't get one. Sometimes the...
Well, if it's lean times, I get it, but yeah, when the animals are there, they're eating them, and they're eating the whole animal.
Well, no, I know that.
And
that's
do you know
sure.
any culture that was pure vegetarian ever on this planet, just a vegetarian that had no access to meat?
No, I mean, I'm not arguing with the fact that we shouldn't eat meat or should eat meat. I think, like I said in our other podcast, I think that we eat whatever we can in order to survive. That and our bodies are really good at just surviving.
So body likes eating meat.
Well, there's a lot of people who thrive on vegan diets. A lot, you know. Look at Dylan. I mean, I know. I'm just bringing up.
Like
Dylan,
I said, in the process, it might seem like he's doing well, but genetically down the line, it's affecting somewhere that you need those nutrients that you're not going to get from a vegan life. It just And he might be doing
know.
Well off it. In the moment, it might be feeling good for him. But down the line, if he has offsprings, it might show the results of that diet taking effect. It takes generations for it to show. And this is why I go back to Monsanto and these companies that put these products out there, like tobacco companies. And Monsanto, for instance, I said that a couple of times, is that they have time because it won't show up in maybe this generation right away. It might take a generation or two to see for the cancers to develop easier because they can get away with it from a generation because our bodies are resilient. And that's how you can get away with it. That's why they don't have to prove they have cancer. I got cancer from that. Well, no, it could have been from other stuff. You know, they know that. Mm-hmm. That's why they can get away with it.
Well, yeah, that's pretty evil. But I don't know. Just thinking about that whole thing with diet, I just think it's very
got to try to get her
individual.
On the show. I'm going to try to get her on the show.
I think it's very individual. You know, there's most people who I think every person. Yeah, I just think that's. Sorry, I'm being distracted.
Well, why don't we end the show? We said enough. I think that was good. So that was actually quite an enlivening show.
I do think so.
So tell people where to go, Kat. What are we doing? How do I get
follow me on Instagram, healthygutgirl_. And also go to, you know the drill, guys. Go to healthygutgirl.com, click on the shop page, sign up for your own Premier Research Labs account. You can also get some Just Thrive on that same page, which is a spore-based probiotic that will help you to re-inoculate your gut with all those desperately needed friendly bacteria that we all need so badly in our large intestine. And because they're spore-based, they don't hang out in the small intestine and wreak havoc where they don't belong. They're spore-based. They make it all the way into the large intestine where they then crack open and do their business. Whereas regular store-bought probiotics, you can, if they make it past the stomach acid at all, end up in the small intestine. Some of them don't make it down to the large intestine, and that can cause things like SIBO. So yeah, isn't that great? We were all trying to take probiotics and do something good for ourselves, and it turns out it made things worse. So check out Just Thrive. They're on that same healthygutgirl.com shop page. What else? Detox, it's coming out soon. My book is done. I just finished it completely, and it's in final edits with the publishing company, and it's going to go to print and be out in November on my birthday.
In November.
It'll be for sale on my birthday. Of course, we'll do tons of promotional launching and all kinds of fun stuff in the months to come. And
PRL Labs.
Very sad.
We did. Yes. I'm sorry. I guess I was looking at the monitor.
That's it. Get rid of your glyphosate. Get rid of your Monsanto. Shop organic. And be good, kids.